Stay tuned now for Edward R. Murrow with the News, presented by Hams. H-A-M-M-S. Hams. Yes, Hams, America's most refreshing beer, brings you America's favorite newscaster, Edward R. Murrow. Looks refreshing, tastes refreshing, is refreshing. Hams, America's most refreshing beer, from the land of the sky blue waters. Have a Hams when you want real refreshment. Ask for Hams wherever fine beer is sold. It's America's most refreshing beer, Hams. And now, Edward R. Murrow.
This is the news. Communist China has rejected the United Nations peace plan. The communists have offered their own plan. The United States calls it unacceptable. In a few minutes, I'd like to review these developments and where it leaves us now. In Korea, according to the reports available to us, things are very quiet. We have word of the enemy massing his troops below Seoul for a possible attack. Military sources are remembering that this type of lull preceded the Chinese attack in late November. But all along the 130-mile front, we are told only of small patrol actions. A late United Press dispatch says an Allied reconnaissance patrol entered Wanju late Wednesday and found it deserted. In Indochina, the French claim a great victory. They say communist troops have fallen back north of Hanoi with tremendous casualties after 4 days of battle. In Burma, Dr. Gordon Seagrave, the American doctor who is widely known as the Burma surgeon, today was convicted of high treason, sentenced to 6 years in prison. Dr. Seagrave told reporters, "I sincerely hope the American people will not judge the peoples of Burma by the action of a few." He is appealing the decision. In this country, a high government source, who doesn't want his name used, says we're going to have a freeze on prices and wages within the next week. Mobilization Chief Wilson is reported to have decided that voluntary controls and piecemeal controls just won't work. Mr. Wilson may explain his position in a speech he's making tonight to the Poor Richard Club in Philadelphia. Another report from Washington has it that the soft coal industry has decided to give the miners a voluntary 20 cents an hour wage increase, with the consumers eventually paying for it through a price increase. The automobile industry told the government today that it's going to cut production 20 to 30% below last year's record of 8 million cars and trucks. That would mean the production of from 5.5 to 6.5 million vehicles. The president said today he's going to try voluntary controls to get the most out of our available manpower. He said each individual will be expected to serve in the capacity in which he can contribute the most to the total mobilization program. If this does not work out, the president will ask Congress for power to prevent indiscriminate shifts of workers from one job to another, power to say how many skilled workers an employer can hire, power to have the government control hiring, and power to compel employers to make full use of women, handicapped workers, and minority groups. Defense Secretary Marshall today formally asked Congress for permission to draft 18-year-olds. He promises that none of these boys will be sent into combat before they are 19, except in a dire emergency. But he does not want a ban on sending 18-year-olds overseas. He feels that this would cripple the services in meeting a sudden, ruthless, and violent action by our enemy. Today, senators heard the heads of five colleges, MIT, Princeton, Tufts, Williams, and Johns Hopkins, support the draft of 18-year-olds. The Air Force has suspended its recruiting, at least until the end of the month. Its basic training facilities are swamped. The House has unanimously approved a $2 billion naval construction program. The Air Force says it is building up quickly from the present authorized 84 groups to 95 to 100 groups. And it's doubling the number of officers and men it had before Korea. General Vandenberg, the Air Force chief, said in Tokyo today, "There is no foolproof defense against an air attack. But if an enemy were to strike at us, we should have certain indications that would help us retaliate almost immediately." In today's foreign policy debate in Congress, Republican Senator Mundt of South Dakota demanded that the president assure the country immediately that he will not send troops overseas without the advance approval of Congress. Democratic Representative Flood of Pennsylvania said it would be monumental folly, akin to courting disaster, to limit the president's powers in this fashion. House Speaker Rayburn urged that the foreign policy debate be conducted on a high level. He said, any jackass can kick a barn down, but it takes a carpenter to build it. French Premier Plevin is coming to Washington a week from this Monday to discuss important questions with the president. Britain's Prime Minister Attlee has reshuffled his cabinet. Health Minister Aniron Bevan has been shifted to Labor Minister, the job Ernest Bevan held in the last war. Aniron Bevan, leader of the Labor Party's left wing, would be the man assigned to keep the unions in line for Britain's stepped-up rearmament program. Here in New York, the co-captains of last year's Manhattan College basketball team have been arrested, with three other men, in connection with a new bribe scandal. Two former players, Henry Poppy and John Burns, are said to have admitted collecting $5,000 each for helping to control the final score of Manhattan games last year. The arrests were made after the center on this year's team, Junius Kellogg, reported to his coach and the police that he had been offered $1,000 to help control the score of the Manhattan-DePaul game last night. Another chapter in the effort to achieve a ceasefire in Korea and a peaceful settlement with Communist China is closed, and it is marked failure. The United Nations, by a vote of 50-7, had offered the Chinese an immediate ceasefire, the withdrawal of all non-Korean forces from the peninsula, and then the Koreans to choose freely their own government. And there was then to be a conference, including the United States, Britain, Russia, and Communist China, to talk about all the Far Eastern problems, including the future of Formosa and China's representation at the United Nations. Our government supported this proposal because most of our allies pressed us to do so, and we wanted to maintain as much unity at the UN as we could. Just for the record, we never agreed to turn Formosa over to the Chinese communists or to give them a seat at the United Nations. We merely agreed to discuss these matters after the ceasefire and after the non-Korean troops had left the peninsula. Today, the Chinese communists turned down the proposal, saying that it was merely a device to let our troops in Korea rest and regroup. The Chinese said they must be seated at the United Nations before any talks began. The Chinese communists further insisted that all foreign troops leave Korea, that a conference on Far Eastern problems, including Formosa, be held. The representatives at that conference, to be Communist China, the Soviet Union, Britain, the United States, France, India, and Egypt. And they insisted that the conference be held in China. Within 2 hours of the unofficial receipt of the Chinese answer, Secretary of State Acheson termed their reply a complete rejection of the UN ceasefire proposal. And he said the communist counterproposal is unacceptable. And he had no doubt it would be unacceptable to the United Nations generally. Warren Austin, our chief delegate to the United Nations, said this refusal begins a new chapter of action for the United Nations to meet and repel the aggression of the Chinese communists. That action will take the form tomorrow or the next day of a broadly sponsored resolution at the United Nations condemning Communist China as an aggressor in Korea. The only voice raised against this proposal so far comes from Prime Minister Nehru of India, who says that if the West brands Communist China as an aggressor, it will bar the door to a peaceful settlement in the Far East. Mr. Nehru thinks that should be avoided at all costs, and that most of the trouble in the Far East arises from the failure of the rest of the world to recognize the arrival of a great new power in China. Lester Pearson of Canada, a member of the ceasefire committee, said, "We've gone farther than most of us would have gone to meet the Chinese, and there certainly won't be another ceasefire proposal." A British spokesman, whose country has recognized the Chinese communists and who pressed us to vote for the ceasefire proposal, thinks now there is no alternative but to declare China the aggressor. The terms, he said, were very liberal, and they strained the patience of the Americans to accept them. So another formula for ending the war in Korea has failed. There has been no appeasement. We have gone as far as we could. Indeed, many people thought we went too far to demonstrate our willingness to stop shooting and start talking. This latest failure brings an increase in the tension between China and this country and makes subsequent efforts at compromise more difficult, if not impossible. The fact that we made the effort will undoubtedly increase our support at the United Nations when the time comes, as it soon will, for the nations, including those that have recognized Communist China, to stand up and be counted. They must belatedly decide whether sending a million or more troops across a frontier and engaging in full-scale war is an act of aggression. And they must decide whether big nations as well as little nations can commit acts of aggression. It seems to me that our support of the ceasefire resolution, even though it was turned down by the Chinese Communist, has strengthened and reinforced the moral ground upon which we will stand in the future. The Chinese refusal will, of course, give added ammunition to those who urge that we blockade and bomb Communist China. I have seen enough of bombing, both from the ground and in the air, to doubt that bombs on China would substantially relieve the ground pressure in Korea or would prevent the eruption of the Chinese communists into Indochina or elsewhere in Asia. I think it was Clausewitz who laid it down that the first duty of a nation at war is to recognize its enemies. Most of us are agreed that our principal enemy is the Soviet Union, and bombs on China would not damage that enemy. Indeed, it may be true that the Soviet Union is hoping that we will undertake precisely that action. This is Ed Morrow. I'll be back in a moment with the word for today.
To the north, in the land of the sky blue waters, the land is in winter darkness, the silence complete, broken only by the whispering winds and the tall pines. Yes, it's night in the land of the sky blue waters. And where you are, it's take it easy time, too. Time to just sit back. A perfect time for that evening glass of Ham's beer. Yes, this is the time for a glass of America's most refreshing beer, Ham's. The beer refreshing as the land it comes from, the land of the sky blue waters. So let's get a Ham's. Let's fill the glass and enjoy that crisp, light flavor, that wonderful, clean-cut taste with smoothness aged in. It's a flavor that's Ham's and Ham's alone. So what do you say? Let's have a Ham's right now. If you're out of Ham's, then order some tonight. Just ask wherever fine beer is sold. It's the beer with the letters H-A-M-M-S on the label. Ham's, refreshingly yours, from the land of the sky blue waters. Now, Ed, the word for today.
We have had some rather substantial arguments with our allies about the ceasefire proposal and many other things. Having said, from our respective points of view, the worst thing we could say about each other, having uttered the ultimate insult, there is no reason we can't be friends. That was said by S.M. Behrman. Quite some time earlier, Oscar Wilde remarked that morality is simply the attitude we adopt toward people we personally dislike. Good night and good luck.
Edward R. Murrow and the news is brought to you by Ham's Beer, brewed by the Ham Brewing Company of St. Paul, Minnesota. Looks refreshing, tastes refreshing, is refreshing. Ham's, brewed in the land of the sky blue waters. For real refreshment, have a Ham's. It's America's most refreshing beer. Ham's. Listen tomorrow. Tomorrow. Larry Alexander speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.